And I look at patterns in people who are giving me these stories, George. If I see that someone has this need to get attention, you know, then I don't really put as much stock in their story. But many of these people telling me these stories again and again about receiving phone calls, about seeing angels and being healed by angels, they have no hidden agenda to convince anyone of their story. They're not out to have anyone believe them. They simply know that this happened to them. And I had such a case myself, July 15th, 1995.
What happened?
Well, in brief, I was getting ready to go to an appointment in Anaheim from my house in Orange County, and I heard a loud male voice outside my right ear tell me to put the top up on my convertible car or it would be stolen. And there were no people next to me. My young son, who would not have had an adult male voice, was in another room down the hallway, too far away to be audible. And this voice three times repeated this message, put the top up on your car or it'll be stolen. And an hour later, when I didn't follow the message because my convertible's electric motor for the top was broken at the time, I was in an armed carjacking. And
oh my.
Two men with a gun and a knife jumped me in broad daylight. You know, I part of the reason I didn't believe the message is I thought, nothing's going to happen to me. It's sunny out.
Yeah.
It's Saturday and there's people out. But this voice knew what was going to happen an hour before it did, and that was the most mind-blowing part for me. And the rest of the story is that this voice then coached me how to get out of the carjacking by telling me, scream with all your might and don't surrender your car keys. And this time I listened to the direction, and it saved my life. And that really is what got me started on my research, because I had to find out, is this an anomaly or has this happened to other people?
Did they run away? What happened?
Well, I screamed so loud that I attracted the attention of other people in the parking lot, and one woman leaned on her horn. And these men, it turned out when I made the police report that they were just going down Lincoln Boulevard in Anaheim jacking people's cars, and I was their third person they were trying to use, and it didn't work for them, so they just probably went on to the next victim.
Good. Scum.
Well, you know what? I've since forgiven them and blessed them because they actually...
Oh, yeah. How could you forgive them and bless them?
They were an important part of my life. Before then, I was afraid to speak openly about angels for fear of what people might think. After that, I really didn't care because I thought, well, I, you know, by all rights, should be dead right now. So I just asked the Creator, I said, how can I repay you? And got a real clear directive, go teach as many people as possible that about the angels being real.
I got to tell you, during every time I basically preach on my pulpit about not being able to forgive hardened criminals, I get a handful of emails from people, well-intentioned, okay? Well-intentioned, believe me. But, I mean, they chastise me for not having a heart to forgive. Now, you know, I find myself to be one of the most kindest people around. I mean, I really am. I mean, I do things for people I don't even want to talk about. But there are some things I cannot forget, and that's other people who go out and try to harm and injure, you know, for their own whatever. And I'm, you know what, I'm not talking about a guy who's begging for a couple bucks because he doesn't have any food or anything like that. I'm talking about someone who just did with what they did to you. I couldn't forgive them. I just couldn't.
It doesn't make me bad. No, it's not. It's not a moral issue. I think that I was so stubborn in not listening to my angels that I needed something like a life and death situation to finally say, okay, I surrender. I'm going to start listening to my divine guidance. That's how stubborn I was.
Well, what do you think angels are? Because I hear so many different interpretations. Some people get into the spiritual and religious aspect. Some other people say that they're, you know, they were here since the beginning of the universe. And maybe there's a crossover. I believe that they were formed before the physical realm and that they are a very natural flowing part of what this universe may be.
I like that definition. And I agree. I also believe that they are non-denominational and that they are archetypes that are cross-cultural, Eastern and Western, ancient and modern, that we might use different terms. So the Easterners might call them bodhisattvas or deities, you know. And in the West, we picture angels different than they do in the East. But we're all talking about benevolent spiritual helpers who are egoless, who were not our deceased loved ones. And these angels are real, and I say that as a clairvoyant, and I cannot produce any concrete proof beyond a lot of case studies that I'm fortunate. I receive hundreds of case studies a month, and I cull through all of them and do my best to find very impressive studies. And the patterns are just really clear, where a person is in a dire emergency or in some sort of physical pain, and sometimes it's like a mysterious person appears on the scene like a Superman, saves the day, and then disappears before the person has a chance to say something.
And I think you get a lot of those calls next hour when we open them up to all kinds of people. I mean,
love them. And then the second type is where it's more subtle, where they get a dream visitation, or they see lights, or don't see anything. They just feel it. And there's a presence that's very loving and benevolent and warm, or a voice like I heard, that either warns them or directs them and ultimately heals the situation.
Hmm.
It's just so nice to know we're not alone.
Well, and I believe that. I mean, just last hour, I got a call from a truck driver who was choking, passed out, and found himself ready to roll over in a ditch with his cargo, yet he was woken up in his cab by someone who was shaking him and yelling his name. Now, who in the heck would be doing that? He was alone in the cab.
You know, that gives me so much hope and comfort in this world, when we are accosted with so much pictures of what seems to be man's inhumanity and unfairness and violence, to know that there are it's almost like the superheroes that we all grew up with as Marvel comic books, that they're real beings who are with all of us, ready to help us and defend us and protect us at a moment's notice.
How do you then equate healing with the help of angels?
What I have found in my research is that that you don't have to be religious or even necessarily spiritual to enlist the help of the angels to heal anything. And by healing, I don't just mean physical health. In angel medicine, I talk of case studies where people healed their finances, their computers, their pets, you know, all sorts of aspects of life. By simply holding the thought, angels, please help me with this, it appears, because we are in a universe of free will, that the angels cannot help us unless we ask, with the exception of a life-endangering situation before it's our time, such as the truck driver or myself in the carjacking. In those instances, it appears they can intervene without our permission. But the rest of the time, we have to ask, or their wings are tied.